Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news poolside edition. I haven't done a poolside edition in quite some time, but it is too beautiful out after a cold spring to spend the day in the basement. So we'll do this poolside. As I was putting the show together, it was a little short, and I said to my daughter, you know, sometimes you just have to Google Pete Davidson. And boy, Pete Davidson pays off. Now, this story really isn't worthy of the leadoff spot, but it proves the point of if you need some more stuff, see what Pete's up to. Kim Kardashian was on Jimmy Fallon's show, and she said that Kim and Pete Davidson inject our pimples together. That's part of their skincare bonding routine. Kim said, we go to dermatologists together. We inject our pimples together at the same time. The dermatologist is like, is this contagious? You guys always have pimples at the same time. I want to throw up. Also, in a Tuesday interview on the Today Show, Kim Kardashian said that Pete Davidson has taught her so much about skincare, saying it was their thing. Now, I would have guessed if you said to me, is Kim teaching Pete about skincare or is Pete teaching Kim about skincare? I would have guessed Kim was the expert on skincare and I would have lost a lot of money. Apparently, Pete's the expert here. Kim said, I knew it was special when I fell asleep and I kept talking about it all night. Like, oh my God, I have this pimple. I have this pimple. Don't let me fall asleep. I have to put pimple medicine on it before I go to sleep. I fell asleep. I forgot. I woke up in the morning with dried pimple medicine on my face. Pete Davidson had put it on in my sleep. Aww. But maybe you need some more content for your weekend daily comedy news. How about this one from the Daily Mail? Pete Davidson strolls around Cairns with his zipper undone. Seems like Pete was up by the Great Barrier Reef. I've been there myself. It is beautiful. You should go. But apparently Pete Davidson suffered a wardrobe malfunction. He had forgotten to zip up the fly on his blue pants before leaving his hotel. The Daily Mail says Pete seemed unaware of the gaffe as he displayed the peace sign for the paparazzi. While we're on Gossip Corner, let's check in with John Mulaney. This also from the Daily Mail. John Mulaney and Olivia Munn spotted out on a walk in New York City. Imagine you're just trying to go for a walk in New York City and you've got some annoying paparazzi stalking you. Yeah. Well, you're curious. Olivia opted for a casual and comfortable all-black ensemble with a plain sweatshirt and matching sweatpants. She added some color to her look with a pair of rainbow-colored trainers, and she wore her voluminous brunette locks swept back and cascading in playfully messy style down her shoulders while rocking a chunky pair of black sunglasses. That's a lot of details. John Mulaney was casual in a pale gray t-shirt with slim dark jeans and navy blue sneakers. Jeans in late June in Manhattan, John Mulaney? Weren't you hot? At one point, Mulaney reached down to comfort little Malcolm, and he beamed warmly at Olivia as they chatted while they headed down the sidewalk. All right, enough of that nonsense. From Philadelphia Weekly. These days, even the ostensibly innocuous comedy of Stephen Wright is coming under scrutiny from some quarters. Stephen Wright said, I had this joke. Joke goes like this. A friend of mine has a trophy wife, and apparently it wasn't first place. Steven says, now people are upset over the joke for two reasons. They're upset because a trophy wife obviously is a woman based on how she looks. I didn't invent this concept. The trophy wife has been around for 50 years, but they're outraged by this. So what Steven Wright has started doing is he says he now prefaces the joke by saying, would you like to hear a politically incorrect joke? The crowd obviously says yes, and he says, you sure you want to hear it? The ushers are going to bring down a piece of paper. You're going to have to sign a release that you agree to hear this joke. And then I tell the joke, and they're still upset. But I just bow and say, I asked you, you said yes, and you're still upset, but I got to tell the joke anyway. How does Stephen Wright find his comedy? He said, I just noticed the world through my day. Whatever I'm doing, I'm like subconsciously scanning. Airport control towers that have radar with that arm that sweeps around and the little blips in the planes, you know? I have one of those in my head. It's just sweeping around, scanning for something weird. I mean, I don't get up and go to the store expecting there will be something weird. I just automatically notice stuff. That's where the jokes come from. Trevor Noah was on 60 Minutes. I think this was a rerun, but I had not seen this part of the interview. Leslie Stahl said to Trevor, you were poor. You write in your book about eating worms and having a toy that was a brick. Trevor said, here's the thing I always say to people. Being poor in a group or in a community that's poor is not as bad as being poor when you know what you're missing out on. So when I grew up, we played with bricks as cars and you'd smash them into each other. It was one of the most fun games I've ever played. The same thing with eating mopane worms. What I didn't like was we couldn't eat anything else, and my mom said, we're going to have to eat these mopane worms for longer because we don't have any money to buy chicken. Click Lee left a review on Apple Podcasts. Click Lee gave the show 4 stars out of 5 and wrote the comment, so negative towards women, I do love the show, but why are you so negative towards female comedians? Click Lee, thank you for writing. Everything I say here, I say sincerely. So one, thank you for writing. 2, thank you for listening. And 3, and I've been in media for, counts on fingers, 30 years, geez. If a listener takes a moment to write a review, it shows me that you care. So I do appreciate it. I will answer your question. Why you're so negative toward female comedians? I don't think I am. I'm guessing that you're picking up on some of my comments about Amy Schumer and Sarah Cooper would be my guess. So one thing I'll say in my defense, and I hate to do this, some of my favorite comedians are women type defense. If you go back and you listen to one of the episodes late in 2020, maybe earlier in 21, if you listen to my best of 2020, I had in my top 2 spots Natalie Palamides and Hannah Gadsby. So to me, comedy is comedy. The comedians that tend to be in the headlines and candidly move the needles. I try and put Dave Chappelle, John Mulaney, Joe Rogan, Bill Burr, Jim Gaffigan, and Ricky Gervais in the headlines as much as possible. Why? Those episodes do better. More casuals come by. All right, back to your question. Why you're so negative towards female comedians? Let me start with Amy Schumer. A lot of people got frustrated because I was doing a bit where I kept, every time I mentioned Amy Schumer, I would say something along the lines of Amy Schumer, who's hosting the Oscars for some reason. And that frosted a lot of people, so I stopped doing it. I think had I had the podcast when Seth MacFarlane was hosting the Oscars, I would have done the exact same thing. I didn't even know that that had happened. I recently discovered it, and I keep going, Seth MacFarlane hosted the Oscars? What? So same kind of reaction there. More recently, I have commented on the names of some of Amy's specials and Amy's tour. Her tour is called the Whore Tour. She's better than that. Like, I don't understand why she calls it the Whore Tour. I think her comedy is smarter than that. She doesn't need to do that. I read in the last week or two an interview with her where she talked about her own evolving comedy. So just to me, she should just not do that. You're better than that. You don't have to call your tour the Whore Tour. As for Sarah Cooper, who I openly eye roll, there was so much hype on Sarah Cooper, who, as I described, was pantomiming to Donald Trump videos. That doesn't make you Joan Rivers. That's pantomiming to Donald Trump videos. And the hype was off the charts. It was like God's gift to comedy. I'm actually going to do a story tomorrow about TikTokers. Then the Netflix special. Like, how did we go from TikTok to Netflix special and a sitcom deal? And what was it the other day? She got in Jerry Seinfeld's movie. Like, she pantomimed to TikTok videos. If you want to show me a greater body of work, go ahead. I saw the Netflix special. So did you. So that's my comments on that. Other than that, why am I so negative toward female comedians? I don't think I've commented negatively on other female comedians. But anyway, Clickly, I hope that's a fair enough answer from you. Feel encouraged to email me, john@thesharkdeck.com. And the various social medias. There's the Daily Comedy News Podcast group. There's the Reddit. You can tweet me at DCN Pod. Would love to go back and forth with you. And I do truly appreciate you listening. I hope that answer made sense in some way. Vulture asked some comedians, what do you think is the best city/venue for filming a special and the worst? 10 out of 39 comedians said to avoid Los Angeles. One saying it's too Hollywood. Natalie Palamides said the best venue is a large black box theater and the worst venue is a cabaret space. Black box creates a great space to pack the energy, whereas the cabaret space dissipates the energy with audience members separated by tables and sipping wine. That's a really good answer. Langston Kerman said specials seem like they're best when they're filmed somewhere that actually matters to the comic. Whitmer Thomas filming his special in that weird-ass club in Alabama was so cool and should inspire all of us to find spaces that are as interesting as the D-word jokes. Kathleen Madigan said, it's a tie for me. The Paramount Theater in Denver and the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee are my favorites. I don't know the worst, thank God. Kathleen's a riot. And from The Wrap, several years ago, while performing her stand-up routine at a resort in North Carolina, longtime comedian Bobby Oliver was attacked on stage by a man in a gorilla suit. It was a Halloween show, so the gorilla suit wasn't the most bizarre thing about the incident, but it shook Oliver up so much that she gave up touring. Oliver told The Wrap, he starts grabbing my boobs and my crotch. I'm looking at the venue manager thinking someone's going to come and help me, but the manager's just laughing. He's in the back like, this place is wacky. Anything can happen here. Boy, that's terrible. I'm being assaulted, sexually assaulted in front of an audience, and the audience thought it was part of the act. Because why wouldn't it be? Guys are half joking they need bodyguards. Like everything else, once it starts happening to men, suddenly everybody cares, right? I've seen people saying, now comedians aren't safe. I'm like, yeah, female comedians have never been safe. Heather McDonald said, it's no secret that there's nobody to protect you if something were to happen. You don't want to be dramatic, you don't want to be a diva, or the club won't ask you back. That sucks. We've heard a lot of this from the British comedians as well. After the Chappelle incident, a shaken McDonald offered free tickets to cops to attend her next show for my June 17 set in Napa. I had about 6 officers for each show. Makes me feel better. Even if they're not on duty, they're always on alert. I have a big fall tour, and with enough prep time, I plan on always having at least 2 or 3 people that are former military or police. And from SundayWorld.com, a Wicklow man found a message from Billy Connolly hidden in his spam folder. Back in December of 2020, the man posted on Billy Connolly's Facebook page in response to a series called It's Been a Pleasure, which centered around Billy exploring his colorful past and his new life in California following his Parkinson's diagnosis in 2013. The fan Calm said he started the series just to let people know he's still alive and Parkinson's hasn't stopped him. And because I work night shifts, my wife would record the series and would watch them together. The series just hit me. I went to see his final tour as a comedian and he had Parkinson's disease at that stage. And I found him struggling and I felt I should send a message on the page. I was such a big fan. I went on the fan page probably after having a few beers and just wrote the message and referenced his work. Recently, Calm was cleaning out his spam folder and he saw a response from William Connolly. It went into spam in my Facebook Messenger page, so I didn't see it. My phone is currently overloaded with stuff, so I was trying to clear out messages. I nearly deleted it. I read it and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a month since he had sent it and about 1 year and 4 months since I had written the post. The man has 500,000 followers. He must get thousands and thousands of messages weekly. For me to get picked out, I found it quite overwhelming for him to read my message for one, but to get a reply, it's blown me away. That's fun. And that's your Poolside Comedy News for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. See you tomorrow.